With us, political editor Jane Patterson and business editor Giles Beckford. Perhaps a question to both of you, first of all. Kia ora, good morning, Korowa. You've had, a bit of time to digest the budget now, a bit of, sleep overnight. What do you make of it this morning, Jane?
Well, look, the general consensus is really that cost of living package isn't enough. $1 billion, of course, sounds like a lot of money, but from the left and the right, you have criticisms that both the amount and the timing of it just isn't going to cut the mustard, and it's actually not going to make a material difference or a long-term difference. And I think that's the main thing. It's because it's temporary, and we've talked about the reasons for that. The Greens say that, beneficiaries have missed out, as do to Party Māori, in terms of they're already getting the winter energy payment. It takes that out. Now, Grant Robertson has been preempting and anticipating this criticism. He has talked about the GFC deficits, how National handled it. And he also makes the point that there have been recent increases to benefits, minimum wage, and that winter energy payment. But yeah, I think no one's really jumping for joy in terms of this particular package.
Giles, jumping for joy?
No, I think perhaps just a little trot here and there. But from the general point of view, I think we'd say that it was a tightrope budget, and this is precisely the balance that Grant Robertson's tried to walk between, obviously, for political and economic reasons, needing to give some relief to those who are hit hard by cost of living. But at the same time, he needs to actually start reining those government finances back under control after all the COVID spending that's been done. I mean, people have been saying 3 months worth of this cost of living package, $1 billion, not enough. Imagine if it had been rolled out for a year, it would have been $4 to $5 billion, and then just think what would have had to be sacrificed in order to allow that. This is Grant Robertson trying to find a balance, and people will make their judgments as to whether he's struck it well. But in terms of the economy and finances, the past 2.5, 3 years, we've had foot on the accelerator. This is him taking the foot off the accelerator. It's not putting the brakes on, but it's just easing up the speed of growth.
This is the area that is hard to sometimes get the head around, because on the one hand there is a lot of spending in this budget. We hear the massive amounts of spending for health, but at the same time, looking forward, as you say, Giles, it's actually less. It's taking the heat out of the economy. Some people might struggle to see how those two things fit together.
Well, $11 billion going into health, I mean, a lot of that will be, it's the backroom stuff, it's the administrative stuff, it's common IT systems. Some of it's just a straight accounting transfer. I mean, he's wiped all the past deficits.
So that's not going straight into the economy, firing things up.
That doesn't go into the economy at all. So, yes, it looks a lot of money, but in the end, you've got to go to the specific policies. Farm Act gets more money, so money goes into drugs buying. Right? Wage increases for some sectors, right? There again, into pockets. You know, that's new spending, that's stimulatory spending. But on the other hand, some of these things have actually, we've got to wait to see if they actually come to pass. Let's be honest, this government doesn't have the greatest track record in delivering on some of its policies. Just one small example, the $100 million business growth fund that's been announced. Right? It's a commitment to be a minority investor if we get the big retail banks on side to participate. Well, I mean, the banks, from their point of view, it may mean more business. It may be a good marketing ploy. But, I mean, $100 million really doesn't go very far. But it's going to depend on the bank saying, we're on board. We have to wait and see on that one.
And as would be usual in a budget, there are also risks of contingency blowouts, and they have some really big projects going on. Obviously, the DHB reform, City Rail Link is one. The big housing build has been identified as a potential risk just because of the prices and supply chain, as well as the pay equity. Warnings in the budget notes that actually, more money may be needed for any one of these projects, and we're talking big ticket items. So, again, a lot of uncertainty and future scenarios that Grant Robertson also has to be prepared for.
And tucked away in that budget commentary from Treasury, the biggest risk the economy faces is inflation. And it's put very starkly, it's a very short sentence, but it encapsulates everything that's there.
Which is interesting, and Grant Robertson referenced that yesterday when he said in this terms of the size of his assistance to those who are struggling. But the biggest criticisms I've heard this morning and over the last 24 hours or so have come from the left, I think. I mean, the right is obviously very conscious of the spending and pushing hard on inflation, but the left is saying this is simply not enough. We heard from welfare poverty groups this morning saying this isn't going to even touch the sides of a crisis for those at the right at the bottom.
And I think when you, again, look at the economy is not going to be booming anytime soon. So the actual ability of Grant Robertson to deliver, I suppose, that direct cash injection is limited. And that's when the National Party argues that's where your tax cut program comes in. It's a bit more broad based. It's, you know, hits more people. So, yeah, there are massive pressures coming and therefore, if you look at inflation, so if you look at the broader economy, but then if you look at the individual situation, you know, prices are going to keep outstripping wages as well. So we're going to come to the end of the year when people are stressed, you know, they're facing Christmas and all of these supports are going to come off. And I suppose that is the worry of a lot of these advocates. Interesting, too, reaction from Māori groups in terms of the health. You know, just saying, really, it's not enough. And Marnie talked about it yesterday, the difference between the big health reform and the Māori, the money for Māori as well. That is coming through as a thread, too, just generally about how they probably had bigger expectations about what they might get to actually address some of these core social issues as well.
And the economic backdrop, of course, and in the end, it's the economy that generates the money that pays for the policies. It looks distinctly soggy for the next couple of years.
I would add one thing, actually, that the benefit for the child support payments for sole parents is a really interesting one. Now, actually, that will that's supposed to help about 41,500 sole parents. So there's been a really long and gnarly debate about people paying child support and then it not actually going and ending up to the parents. So this change from mid-next year will actually give that child support money directly to the parents. So actually that will be a good financial boost for a lot of sole parents. And yeah, that was another thing tucked away in the budget. So actually I think advocates will be very pleased with that because that is actually probably a significant change as anything else for the benefit anyone on the welfare system.
Now, Mihi, thank you very much, both of you, political editor Jane Patterson there and also business editor Giles Backford.